Lord, for the events of the day, we ask you, Father, now that you would just lead, guide, and direct, may everything be done and bring glory and honor to you. May you be exalted and uplifted. Pray, Lord, that you would save someone today. It could be one that don't know you, or that maybe someone's watching on a device this morning that's never asked you into their heart. And this would be the day that call upon you and accept the forgiveness that you have provided. Father, we love you, thankful for you. Just to be part of the family of God, thankful to be in the building. Lord, to see this great congregation. Father, we just praise you. That in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. At this time, I think Sister Robin is going to say to us this morning.
For her, okay. You may have a fancy car, brand new house that shines by far. You may live to be 100 years old, but if you have not been saved, hell awaits beyond the grave, and I want us to be together in heaven. I want us to be together in heaven. I want to walk down the streets of pure gold. I want to run through the fields of green clover, see the mansions, smell the flowers, hear the singing, it's all ours. See the gentle breezes blowing, feel the gentle breezes blowing. I want us to be together in heaven. You may be a millionaire, wearing clothes beyond compare. You may have the best that money can buy, but if your blood is not applied, then in hell you'll lift your eyes. So I want us to be together in heaven. I want us to be together in heaven. I want to walk down the streets of pure gold. I want to run through the fields of green clover, see the mansions, smell the flowers, hear the singing, it's all ours. See the river gently flowing, feel the gentle breezes blowing. I want us to be together in heaven.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't know why I'm always
Still amazed how God works and moves, and song just fits right in with the message this morning. And you know, in this life, we pass through one time. We've got one shot. And it's important that we make decisions, and when we get through life, that we have made the right decision to follow Jesus Christ. No other choice will ever be made as important as what we do with Jesus. He came to die on a cross that we could be saved. When we get to the realization that we need a Savior, that we need to be saved, we are responsible and we need to make a decision. And we will make a decision, just hope it's the right one. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. There was a young missionary that he had arrived in a native village and going to spread the word of God around in that village. And he wasn't going to be speaking until the next day, so he had a little bit of time that he was going to spend, and they took him and was showing him some things. He went down to the river where the fishermen were fishing, and he shared with them about Jesus and being around a fisherman and the adventures of him. And they went on, and they told him they wanted to show him how that they trap animals. And as they were walking through, the young missionary took his last piece of gum out, and not thinking, he throwed the wrapper down. And immediately when he did, the guide stopped and picked that up. And the guy said, "I'm sorry, I just didn't think." And he said, and went on. And as they went, and then they got to a log that had a hole in it, and it was hollow. And he tore that piece, got that shiny cellophane out and tore a piece off and stuck it down in that hole. And they left and they came back later that evening, and there was a monkey with his hand caught in that hole. And so he was stuck. The guy went and got the monkey then, and then he just got him out. It was that easy. And the missionary threw interpreters out. He said, "Why did he not just pull his arm out and let go and be free?" And he reached his hand down in and got that little cellophane and took the missionary's hand and laid it in there and said, "Now close your hand." And he said when the monkey closed his hand on that shiny thing, he couldn't get his fist back out. He said, "Well, why didn't he just let it go?" And he said, "Monkeys like what monkeys like, no matter if it means death. No matter if it kills them, they like what they like." And you know, as I read that and I thought about that, isn't it like us? Humans, we like what we like even though it kills us. And boy, you could go a long way, different ways with that, couldn't you? And I could sure preach about eating right there. And but I'm not going to preach to the preacher right now. But there's a lot of things in life and a lot of decisions we make. And I'm going to read this passage. But the nation of Israel had not had an earthly king. And God had set up by judges, and Samuel was one of the judges and probably the last. And God had been used men to work between him and the people. And that's the way that he was working. And we see a point now where Samuel's two sons had got out of line, and the people didn't want them to be their judges. And they said, "Give us a king. We want to be like everybody else. Set us up a king." And this really tore Samuel all to pieces. But I'll read it in a little bit. But God said, "It's not you they're rejecting. It's me." You know, and how often do we think that people rejects us? Well, I've asked them and asked them and asked them to come to church, and they won't come to church. They're not rejecting me. They're rejecting God. And we encourage people, and the Holy Spirit deals with people's hearts, and it's not us that they're rejecting, it's God. And what a fearful thing. And as we look and as we go through this chapter and this passage here this morning, that we're going to see that I think we're a lot like the children of Israel was in. God had even told Samuel to tell them exactly what's going to happen. And they said, we want a king anyway. And we've been told, and we know, and the Bible tells us, we've heard it our whole lives, that if you don't ask Jesus into your heart, you're going to go to hell. But we put it off and put it off and want to hope that it'll go away. And we say, well, I want to live my life anyway. I want to make my own decisions and my own choices. If you would stand with me, I want to read in 1 Samuel chapter 8. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and to Ramah. And he said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them out of Egypt unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so that they also unto thee, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Let's pray. Father, thank you again. Lord, you're so good to us. We thank you for the great gift of salvation, and we thank you for the king that you have provided for us, King Jesus. Lord, that we ask you that we'll make him Lord, and that we'll make him king, and we'll serve him all the days of our life, and we'll not be looking to a man. We'll not be looking to something else, that we'll trust you. All our devotion will be to you. You'll be the first thing on our minds when we get up. You'll be the last thing our own when we go to bed at night. Lord, and fill us with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And God, help us to be the people you want us to be. Lord, give us a desire to serve you. Lord, give us a desire to read your word and study and grow closer to you. And Father, that we'll make you the Lord and King of our lives. Forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Want to spend a few minutes this morning on the subject of make us a king, or give us a king. And as we see here in these first five verses, that we see that Samuel, his two sons were out of line, and they didn't do like they ought to. And as I started making notes and I sat down and a thought came to my mind, the first point here is, don't let man's actions make your decision. Don't let what someone else does decide what you're going to do. And so often in life that we see that it's decisions others makes that impacts us and it impacts our decision. And as I looked at this and I thought that a whole nation was making a decision on what two people was doing. They were out of line. They were out of God's will. They should not be in judges. They should not be set up. But still yet that the people decided to have a king because of them. Could they have not went to Samuel and said, you know, we don't really want them. Won't you set another judge up? Do something different. They were in what such a different situation. God of the universe was directing them through men. He would move upon someone's heart, empower them to overthrow, give them military wisdom, overthrow nations. He was using these men as judges, and they were different than everybody else. God's called us to be different. He don't want us to be like the world. He don't want us to serve the same king that the world serves. And God had called these a nation and used men to lead this great nation, and they were so different than everybody else. And then their desire was to be like everybody else. Wow. What's that sound like? I mean, I'm going to get into a little more, but that kind of sounds like our nation. We've been blessed. We've been set apart. I'm telling you, God has blessed America. We are way blessed. We're the envy of the world. Now we're wanting to be like them. Wow. See, they were looking to people. They thought human leaders had the answer. Can I share something with you this morning? You may not never know this. Human leaders have limitations. And they mess up a lot. Amen? And if we put too much confidence in man, we're going to get brokenhearted and let down pretty quick. So, I mean, I'm pretty forgiven of people. I'm blessed in that. I'm very forgiven because I guess I realize how much I mess up. Amen. If you mess up so much as I do, I sure can't hold somebody else to the line. And when we look to people, we're going to mess up. See, his sons did not walk in his way. The Bible said that they turned aside after lucre. They went after money. Their decisions come about by what would put a little money in their pocket. Amen? What does that sound like? Could we... I didn't mean this to come. I'm not anti-American. Don't get me wrong. That sounds like politicians. That sounds like other leaders. I might sound like some church leaders. That sounds like some people that money is controlling the decisions they make. They've gone after lucre. And it's bad. But guess what? I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Amen? Because it's a couple of bad apples don't mean that you throw the whole bushel away. And as we look here this morning, that they, just because these fellows were bad, they took bribes. They took gifts that would blind their eyes. They'd say, you know, that's a sin. Well, I was getting ready to put a big offering in the plate. Well, maybe it ain't that bad. I got something else I can preach on. Amen? When one's throwing the most money in the offering plate, sometimes you might overlook something. That's what was happening here. They also perverted judgment. It was what benefited them. And the people... said, we can't have this. So we're not only going to throw them to the curb, we're going to throw God to the curb with them. Amen. I need amen up here. I didn't even bring a handkerchief, William. But I'm afraid that so often, because people mess up, people make mistakes, that we allow it to harden our hearts toward the things of God. Somebody can bless you out on the job, and you go to work the next morning. Somebody can not shake your hand in church, and you don't, I'm not going back over there. They snubbed me. The preacher didn't even shake my hand today. I don't shake nobody's right now, amen. Very few. But let's not let what people does determine our decisions of how we follow the Lord. When we do, we're messing up. I'm spending a lot more time on this point than I meant to, but don't let man's actions make your decision. The second thing in verse 5 in the last part of that, now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. See, God wants us to trust Him in our decisions. He wants to be the God of our lives. He wants to be the one calling the shots. It won't work any other way. See, there's an old tag, and I've not seen any in years. Brother Todd, I'm sure you've seen them. It says, God is my co-pilot. You ever see those tags? It's been a long time. Most people kind of figured out what's going on, changed. I want my tag to say, God is my pilot. I want Him driving. I want Him in control. And it's so often that I've been in the driver's seat and He's been in the passenger seat, and it's a mess when it winds up like that. And that is why our lives are so messed up, that we want God to bless what we do, and we want Him to answer our prayers as we want them answered. And when He don't, we get miffed at God. Well, He don't love me. If He loved me, He'd give me that big mansion and a Mercedes Benz. Amen? My family wouldn't be sick if God loved me. I wouldn't have the troubles I'm having if God loved me. Amen? See, that's called entitlement. And we think that God owes us something. Amen? We think we're so good, God just couldn't hardly get by without us. Amen? See, they say, give us a king. We want to be just like everybody else. We want to be like all the other nations. Now, God was directing this nation. God was speaking to a man and telling him which way to go. And they said, we don't want God telling us what to do. We want a man. Whoo, Lord, have mercy on us. See, they wanted to be led by man instead of God. We see, and I talked about it a little bit, we see this in politics. U.S. has had the most awesome opportunity to be the leader of this world, but spiritually, and we have been in other ways, but we have decided that we want to be like everybody else and follow like all the other nations. We've kicked God out of our schools. We don't want him in our meetings. We don't want him in our pledges. We don't want him anywhere. And we've said, God, that we're smarter than you. And we have changed our laws. And we've said we can kill babies. And that we can men marry men and women marry women. And God, it's okay. We like your suggestion, but we'll be all right without you. And that's where we are as a nation. Let me ask you a question this morning. How's it worked out for us? Amen. We're in a mess. We see it in the families. Families have decided that we want our children to dress like the world, look like the world, act like the world, smell like the world. Where's it got us? I remember a time when Daddy spoke and that's the way it was. I didn't run to Mom, and when Daddy said no, it was no. I didn't go to Mom and say, well, what do you think? No, it didn't work that way, James Broad's house. You know, and I'm not saying I dictate over on, but it don't work that way in my house either. I've been the spiritual leader in our house, and you can ask Rhonda, and I have from day one. I'm the one that decided we go to church. I'm the one that decided. I grabbed her by the hand and I said, let's go to the altar. I didn't make her do anything, but I led her as God led me. We need some godly men that'll take a stand and allow God to move and move in their lives and direct a family according to thus saith the word of God. Not this dilly-dallying around. We've heard the saying this time, us men, we put our big boy britches on. We make the decision because we're the ones that's going to stand before God and give an account how we have led our families. Amen. Now we might get some letters this week. This is not popular preaching, is it? But it's correct preaching. And we see this in the church. Oh, now's when I'm really going to get in trouble. We, the church, so often gets to the point where they make decision that makes them attractive to everybody. We have got to be attractive to everybody. And watch what you say, and don't be too hard and too rough around the edges, because certain people might not like that kind of preaching. My prayer so often when I get in the pulpit and I say, God, don't let me offend. But if your word offends, so be it. I try not to offend. I try not to say things and say, Tim said, and I believe in this. But if I stay right here, you can get mad at God all that you want. But if you want to reject him as the king of your life, you have that opportunity. But let me tell you, there's consequences that falls when you do. See, there's something about change we don't like, but then we've made several changes since I've been the pastor here. And I ain't saying I've made them, I said we've made them together. Well, we've really made a lot of changes since COVID-19. We don't look nothing like we used to. But we change the changes that we have made. We've tried to do it through prayer and thinking through and allowing God to lead us to make it better, that we could do as God would have us to do. And when we make decisions, we need to make them on God. Amen. On the Word of God and on the will of God. I don't recall one board meeting we've had that we've said, what can we do to track the people. Maybe we throw this out. Maybe we throw that out. Maybe we add this. I'm probably getting ready to really get in trouble. If you win them with a hot dog, you can lose them with a hamburger. Now, I like eating as good as anybody. Don't get me wrong, but I don't set our religion, and I don't set our services, and I don't set the things up to stroke people's backs and stroke their egos. I want us to be a church that's led by thus set the word of God, and we get our direction right out of here. See, there is nothing as attractive as a changed life. I can tell you all the stories, and we can do everything in the world. I can show you statistics, and we could go for hours and hours. But you take somebody that you've seen God move in their life, and you've seen them bring from death unto life and change an old heart of stone and made them a loving heart, and that person's on fire for the Lord. I tell you, that'll speak volumes right there. That'll do more than any hot dog supper. Not only that, we've seen it in individuals. It seems like there's so many folks that has denied the lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives today. I won't use an old expression now for cuss, y'all. You say that they want fire insurance. We don't want to go to hell, but we don't want to turn the keys of our life. We want that tag that God's my co-pilot. He's taking me to heaven, but I'm doing the driving. And that's where we've get in trouble. I tell you, just hand the keys to Him. Just let Him drive. Let Him do the directing. Let Him do every part about it. Let Him decide where we work. Let Him decide what church we go to. Let Him decide what song we're going to sing, what message we're going to preach, where we're going to go, and every part of what car we'll buy, what tires we'll buy, what gas we'll put in it. Everything, if we'll let Him do the deciding, I tell you, we'll wind up with a lot more money in our pockets. See, because he don't get connived out of his money. If we're doing the deciding, we can make a bad decision. Remember that old commercial? The guy walked up and he traded vehicles and he said, "Whoa, you got smoked." In my dealings, I get smoked a lot. Run to say, "You're not going to give up for that car, are you? Maybe they'll take less." Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible said, the serpent said to Eve, "You will be like God." He sold her a false bill of goods. The devil is selling the world a false bill of goods today, and we're buying it. If you'll act like this, do like this, dress like this, eat this, drink that, you'll be like everybody else. And a lot of people is buying it. See, be aware of false promises that reduce our lives into something less than what God desires for us. See, if a devil can talk us into compromising, then he has us on the ropes. And we compromise what we feel, the convictions that God has given us and what the Word of God says. And a lot of times we do it, well, it's different this day and time than it used to be. So we can back off in some of these areas. Hogwash. He's the same God that wrote this all those years ago. He's still the same God today. He still expects the same living out of godly people. He still expects us to look like Christians, act like Christians, smell like Christians. It's not changed. Be careful that a religion don't make Jesus a mascot instead of king. We want a lot of folks to use him as a mascot. When it's beneficial, we can pull it out of our pocket. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I got Jesus. I know what you're talking about. Have you ever noticed you got in a lot of conversations with people, and whichever way you go, that's the way they are? I've heard people having some of the awfulest talk, and I'd be over here working, or they'd be over there or something. Then I get around them and I go talking about Jesus. Oh yeah, then the man, old life. Honey wouldn't melt in her mouth. They love Jesus so much. They was cussing his name there just a few minutes ago. We want him as a spare tire. When we have a flat, we can go jerk him out and throw him on the car and ride on in. Come on, I need an amen right there. Instead of making him to be the object of everything that we do, that we make him the object that we want him to be. Because we want to be like everybody else. Amen? I'm getting some strange looks this morning. Is it okay? Brother Harold, tell me. Give me some feedback here. All right. Rhonda's got her face covered up, so I can't tell if I'm messing anything up. Because usually I can tell the way her mouth goes. I knew right then I've messed up. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, "Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." Why would we not want to trust a God that's give us everything? Did you eat breakfast this morning? I'm going to take a poll. How many eat breakfast this morning? How many plan on eating lunch today? Not everybody eat breakfast. I think everybody's going to eat lunch. God is the one that has supplied that for us. You might say, "I worked hard for that." He give you the ability to work hard. "Well, I studied." He give you the opportunity to study for it. Whatever good thing has ever happened to you, he gets the credit for it. You might say, "I've got so much money in the bank, preacher." I'd say, "Glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank God for it." You might say, "I've got two nickels to rub together." Thank God for them. Hey, some people don't have one. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 30, verse 12, the Bible said, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet not washed from their filthiness." You know, there's a lot of people that thinks they're pure. Let me ask you, let me get you to do something. This next week, everybody that you meet, ask them if they're saved. I'll bet you 98% of them says they are. Everybody's saved. Very few will say, probably not. Most of them, "Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm the member of such and such church down here. Now, what's the pastor's name? You know, I forget. That's the truth. I didn't make that up. That's happened more than once. See, we think we're pure, but we've not been washed. We've not been saved. We've not accepted the lordship of Jesus Christ over our lives. He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. We can't use Him as a spare tire. He's got to be the whole vehicle that gets us from point A to point B. See, God stirred my heart. We've been using Him. We want to claim Christianity, but we don't want to live it. First Samuel in chapter 8, verse 6 and 7 says, "But the thing displeased Samuel, and when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us,' and Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, 'Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.'" Again, it's not people that's getting rejected, it's God. You might reject me and you might say, "Preacher, I don't like your preaching. I don't like what you stand for. I don't like it that you're a free will Baptist. I don't like it you're overweight. I don't like it you spit and stone. I don't like what you preach. I don't like the words you preach out of." You're not rejecting me, you're rejecting God. It don't matter how many faults I've got. When you reject God, you're rejecting the God of the universe that you'll stand before one day and give an account of everything you've ever done. It'll be the same one that'll say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." All right, the third thing is Samuel warns of the importance of our decisions in verse 9. "Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit you protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." He said, now this king's going to take your sons and appoint them in his chariots to be his horsemen, to run before the chariots. He's going to take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and bakers. He's going to take your fields. He's going to take a tenth of all your seed. This is what he's going to do. He went through a big list. Now this king, you're going to get a king. God said to give you one. But now here's what's going to happen. Here's going to be the consequences of it. I wish I could go down here and read and where they said, "Well, we don't want him in. That's the way it's going to be. We'll stick with God. We've done a lot better off." But they said, "Give us one anyway." That's a small price to pay. "Give us one anyway." Wow. See, we've done that as a nation. We've done that as families. We've done that as churches. We've done that as individuals. We've said that we don't care of the consequences. We want it the way we want it. Amen. We've snubbed our nose right up at God's laws and His Word and the preaching that we've heard through the years, and we've said we'll do it our way. That's what the nation Israel done here. If you look all the way through 11, 18, you'll see the consequences. But I want to tell you something. And I want you to remember this. Whoever you set up as a king in your life, he's going to demand things from you. There's going to be big consequences. He's going to direct where your money goes. Joshua. I meant to read it later on in the message. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. He said, choose ye this day whom you'll serve. If it seem evil unto you to choose God, I think it's the way he started out. Choose ye this day whom you'll serve. As for me and my family, we'll serve the Lord. See, America and a lot of people has saw it evil to choose the Lord. I was thinking on this passage years ago. I was going to preach on it, and I was thinking on this passage. One day at work, I was on a baker scaffold, working, putting in a ceiling, and I was working long, and it's been years ago, so I think I can share this. I'd fasted lunch. I didn't eat lunch. I sat down in a corner away from everybody and studied and prayed during lunch. And when I got back up on the scaffold and I was working, and the Lord gave that verse on my heart, and he said, you know why America's broke? And I thought, why they're in debt so bad? Why most American people is in debt so bad? And I thought, well, no. He said, because you can't afford to serve all these gods. I said, wow. When you serve a God, he's got his hand out. We're serving materialism. We're serving the God of this world, the God of pleasure, the God of things, the God of self. And we get scrapped out because all these gods has got their hands out. God said, you know, in that passage, he said, if it seem evil to serve God, choose ye rather the God of the Amorites on the other side of the flood or the God of Canaanites. But you got to choose one of them because you can't afford to serve them all. Amen. That's where we are. We've chose the way of the world. We've chose to give us a king. We want a worldly God, a king of this world, instead of the God of the universe. Romans 6, verse 15 and 16, the Bible said, what then shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, rather to sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. When whoever you set up to be the king in your life, you are their servants. Whatever we allow to be number one in our life, that's who we're serving. That's who we're slave to. Just because everyone else is doing it, don't make it right. There's other churches doing things I don't want us to do. I'm not throwing off on nobody. But I tell you, I like the old paths, which is a good way and walk therein. I'm not saying, I can't sing I don't even know what you call it, upbeat song. I'm not saying we can't do that. I'm not saying we can't do different things and have different things. But I'm saying when it comes right down to rubber meets the road, what you win them with is what you win them to. See, there's consequences. And our families are enslaved by our choices. Our property will be wasted on the altar of carnality. You know, if God blesses us with something, we better keep it sanctified. Keep it before God. Because if he gives it, he can take her away. Let him be the Lord of all. See, I'm afraid we've got little closets. Come on, hang on with me a minute. Don't check me off yet. We've got little closets. We give God everything, except that little closet. And we say, no, you can't go in there. That's just for me. See, he likes to clean closets. I hate cleaning closets out. Do you ever think, you ever moved and had to clean everything out, move it somewhere else? You move to somewhere twice as big as what you move out of, and you ain't got room to put your stuff that you took out. Amen? You have to take to the Goodwill. You got to have yard sales. You got to get rid of it because the house, it's just twice as big. I don't know where we're going to put it all. I hate cleaning out. God likes cleaning things out. He likes getting rid of garbage and junk. He don't care. He don't say, this used to look good on me. I think I'm going to keep his. Amen? He says it's garbage. Get rid of it. Let me lead you and guide you a little while. All right, I better hurry. But the thing in verse 18 here in chapter 8. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king which he shall have chosen you, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. He said, now you can choose this king if you want to. But he's going to be your king. And there's going to be a day you make his choice, you're going to have to live with it. God's not going to spare you when you decide to take someone over him. Whoo! That's some strong stuff right there, folks. I could preach a while. I'm going to try my best not to, but I've done preach longer than I meant to. But let me read you a few verses right here. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Folks, this is where we are today. And God's allowed people he's turned them over. And it goes on and says it turned them over to a reprobate mind. And just vile and mean and ugly stuff. If that's what you want, God will let you have it. But don't come crying when you decide it over him. Now, I mean, God will forgive you. But when it has destroyed your home, destroyed your family, took your children to hell, took your family to hell, split you up, and has just made a horrible thing in your life, don't blame God for it. Don't come back and say, why did God allow this to happen? It's because of the choices that we make. Choose ye this day whom you'll serve. In Daniel, I'll read this passage and I'll close. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. We remember the story of the three Hebrew children. Because we will make decisions. That's the fourth point. We will make a decision. The children of Israel, in Babylonian captivity, and the king come up and said, build a big idol, and said, when the music starts playing, you bow down and worship him. Anybody that don't, it's going to get thrown in a fiery furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was brought before the king. He got so mad at them. He said, now when the music starts, you bow down and worship. They said, the old king, we serve a God that can deliver us. He's God of all, and we trust him, and he can deliver us. But boy, I like that next verse. But if he don't, we're not bound anyway. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. We're not going to roll to the devil's rock. We're not going to turn and turn our lives over. We're going to keep trusting the one that brought us this far. I've come too far to turn back now, Brother Gary. I'm not looking back. I'm looking forward. And I'm not going to bow to the devil's congregation. When we do, there's bad consequences in the choices we make. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you again,
Lord, I'm thankful for your many, many wonderful blessings of life. I'm thankful, God, for how good you are to us. And I'm thankful for your word.